I tell you, that's good singing. I like that, redeemed. Amen. When you ask a person, are you a Christian? If they're really born again, if they really know the Lord Jesus, they'll tell you they're redeemed. Thank God, I'm glad I'm redeemed. The blood of Jesus bought me. And what a blessing it is to be here to share with you this morning the Word of God. And we've had a great time all week, the music and all of those that have worked. And working with your good pastor, it's been just a real blessing. Thank God for Brother Gene Lashley. I'll tell you, you won't find many preachers across America that stand, and I mean really take a stand for the fundamentals like he does. And I thank God for him. And you folks ought to thank God for him and hold up his hands and follow his leadership. I believe that that's required of the church that we do that. And I tell you, I appreciate being with him and you dear folk again. Well, it's good to see you. I told them in the Sunday school class this morning. Yeah, it's a little colder up here than I thought it was going to be. Amen. I told them about the little girl. She supposed to have quoted Matthew 22:14. Many are called and few are chosen. And it was real cold outside. And she got up and she was nervous anyway. And she said, many are cold, half of you are frozen, praise God. But it's good to be here on this day, and I appreciate the blessings. And we have only one service now left. Now, I want you to pray, really pray this morning for this service. There are some precious people here. They are not certain, they are not positive that they're born again. And folk don't go through life just hoping that you'll someday come to realize that you're not saved, and then you'll get saved. Be sure that you know when you leave here this morning. And then I want to challenge the church, reaching new heights for Christ. I believe you have 4 more Sundays. Well, a little rain, you know, kept a lot of folks away this morning. But you're going to have to get busy, and let's make it a great and wonderful time of reaching new heights here at the church. Never stand still. Never go backward. Always climbing to new heights all the time. And that's what the Lord would require of us. Now this afternoon, I want to bring you a message on the subject, headlines that will soon come out of prophecy. Everyone is interested, especially since the war. Somebody asked me, he said, what did that war do for America? Well, I said he got a lot of people to praying that didn't pray. Why, the Lord heard a lot of strange voices that first night. Say amen. I mean, folks go to praying when they recognize that we're in war and our sons and men are over there on those front lines. I want to tell you, folks, God answered prayer. Never has there been a war like that in just few casualties as we had. We didn't have many casualties. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad for the Patriot missile and those things that God gave us wisdom? Boy, I want to tell you, I praise his name. I'm glad. And I've got my towel. I got the, you know, a flag. I like that. Amen. I started buying me a suit during the war. It had flags all over it. Praise the Lord. But you be here this afternoon, hear the message, and I'll give you some things I believe will be a real help about headlines that's coming out of prophecy in a few days. You'll see them all over the world. There will be headlines from Bible prophecy. But today, I'm going to take you in, we're going to look in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 8, if you have your Bible with you, there was a plague in the land of the day of Jeremiah. It's awful when there's a plague. You know, I've never been in a plague, but I've heard them talk about in Africa and other places where they would have plagues, South America. Other places where they'd have these plagues. They were having a plague, and the Bible said in chapter 8 of Jeremiah, if you want to look there with me, I want you to stand for just a moment, and we'll read the scripture, and I'll preach about 25 minutes. Somebody said, how can you do that? It's mighty hard, but I'll do it so we can get out and come back and be in the service this afternoon. Look at verse 8 of chapter 8. How do ye say we are wise? And the law of the Lord is with us. Lo, certainly, now listen, in vain made he it, and the pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are shamed. They're dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in it in them. Therefore, I will give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For everyone, from the least even to the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And then I'd have you to note the last verse in this chapter, verse 22. Would you look at that verse with me? And here's a cry from the prophet's heart. Listen to what he said. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? He was crying from the deep of his soul. He said, isn't there a remedy? He said, surely there's a remedy. This plague, our people are dying. They're hopeless. They need help. Is there not a balm in Gilead? And in just a moment, I'm going to speak to you for just a few minutes on there is a remedy. The good news that God in the gospel in Christ gives us the remedy. That's too bad that a lot of people go to church all their lives and never hear the remedy. They never hear the gospel. They never hear the sweet news of heaven. But what a wonderful thing it is to belong to a church like this, where you hear it in Sunday school every week, where you hear it not only there, but in this pulpit every week. But the Bible said in the prophet Jeremiah, cried out, is there no balm in Gilead? Yes, there is. Thank God. And I'm going to speak to you on that remedy in just a moment. But would you be seated all over the house? Everyone seated all over the house. I'm going to pray and get right into the message. Father, we thank you for this week. We thank you for every prayer. We thank you for all of those that have been faithful. We thank you today for all of those that have given. We thank you for those that have received a spiritual help. They've been blessed. They've been lifted. They've been challenged. I pray that the church will go out and do mighty things from the Lord. Oh, may we recognize that this is the day when this world is sin sick, even in the days of Jeremiah. Oh, may we see that where there was hopelessness, that Jeremiah said there is a balm in Gilead. And I pray that you'd give somebody hope today, that someone would be saved today, that someone would draw close to thee today. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray, amen and amen. Beloved, I want you to look this way, and for a few minutes I'm going to speak to you on there is a remedy. I walked in a hospital 2 weeks ago. A preacher friend of mine, the doctor's given him up, and he's holding on, and the doctor said, we have no remedy. I looked at that preacher, and I thought about physically how sad it is that many people with cancer die and there's no remedy. And yet God spoke to my heart and said, there is a remedy for a sick sin soul. There is a remedy for those that have no hope. There's a remedy spiritually for every need that we have. Look at Jeremiah for just a moment. He would not compromise. The Bible said they tied a rope under his arms, and they placed him down in a pit, and they said, change the message of God. Jeremiah said, there's no changing that word. That comes from the Lord. That word is never changeable. Thank God we're to believe it. We're to preach it. We're to shout it. The word, there is a remedy. Now, I want you to see three things this morning. There is a remedy for. Number one, there is a remedy for a defeated, discouraged life. Oh, there's so many people going through life in defeat. There is no victory. There is no joy. There's nothing really to live for. Lady said to me over in Pennsylvania last summer, I was in a meeting. She said, oh, Brother Mays, you act like that there's never a problem. I said, yes, ma'am, there are many problems. But she said, you never act like you're defeated. I said, no, we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Greater is he that's in you than he that's of the world. And the Bible teaches victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're defeated, if you're discouraged, if you feel like quitting, hear me, there is a remedy. Let me take one man in the Bible and show you how God brought remedy to this man. His name was Elijah. And now he's called a Tishbite, a mountain man, if you please. Elijah, the great man of God. But one day he became defeated. One day, with all of his knowledge of the Lord, he became discouraged. One day he got under the juniper tree. But first notice, he ran 100 miles from Jezebel. I was preaching once down in Georgia, and I said, Elijah ran 100 miles. Lady came up after the service and said, it's impossible for a man to run 100 miles, Brother Mays. I said, not if Jezebel's after. It's not. Say amen. He ran 100 miles. And the Bible said three things happened to him after he ran that 100 miles. He was so discouraged, the first thing he did, he got under a juniper tree. Now, beloved, in the Bible, when you find a man under a juniper tree, he's ready to quit. And here's Elijah. He said, I'm the only one left. I'm going to quit. God, I'm going to quit. And a lot of people, they get like Elijah. They get discouraged. Mothers get discouraged. Dads become discouraged. Young people become discouraged. And God said, get out from under that juniper tree. And if you're under a juniper tree this morning, don't you leave this service until you get out from under that thing. There's no joy under there. There's no happiness under there. Oh, listen, life will become a dread under that juniper tree. And God said, get out from under there. Number two, he went to a cave. Anytime in the Bible you find a man in a cave, you hear me, he's backslidden on the Lord. Lot went to a cave, and I can tell you many. And here's Elijah, and he goes in a cave, and God says, what are you doing in there? Why did you go in that cave? Why didn't you come to me, Elijah? Why did you get discouraged and crawl off in that cave and pray to die? Now, Elijah didn't want to die. You say, yes, he did. He prayed. No, he didn't. If he didn't want to die, he'd have stayed up there and Jezebel cut his head off. Say, man, brother, he didn't want to die. He crawled down there and crawled under the tree, and then he crawled in a cave. And God said, Elijah, I'm going to give you the remedy. Get out from under that tree. Get out of that cave. Said, stand on the mountain, and I'm going to pass by. I'm going to speak to you. And Elijah stood there embracing himself in the Lord. And the Bible said a strong wind shook that place. But God wasn't in the wind. Sometimes we look for the Lord to be in something mighty, and he's not. And then secondly, the Bible said there's an earthquake, and it shook the mountain. But God was not in that earthquake. And then Elijah stood there spellbound, and a ball of fire came by. And when it passed him, he said, God is not in the fire. But as he stood there, there came a still small voice. That voice that wants to speak to you today. That voice that wants to speak to me today. And that voice spoke. And a still, small voice, Elijah heard, there's victory. I'm glad that God can speak to every child, and God can speak to every woman, and God can speak to every man in a still, small voice. And he said, there is a remedy. And from that day on, Elijah never was defeated. And from that day on, Elijah didn't feel like turning back. And from that day on, Elijah had great victory in the Lord. Not only is there a remedy for a defeated life, a discouraged life, but there is a remedy for a divided home. And I don't know of anything so pathetic. Oh, it's bad to be on a juniper tree as an individual. But when your home's divided, and your home is not home sweet home, I want to tell you something. There's a remedy in this book for a divided home. The Bible said, Mark 3:25, a divided house is not going to stand when there's no communication and no love. Hear me, when that home is upset And when the devil has divided your home, oh, it's sad. My wife came from a divided home. She has never had real peace about that. She said, Mays, it wasn't away with you. He said, the best supporters you've ever had, your own people. And I can go back to my hometown, and three-fourths of the church will be my kinfolk. And she reminds me, she said, you came from a praying mother and a God-fearing daddy. You came from a home where they took you to church. You came from a home where they were built on the rock, Christ Jesus. I said, that's right, Don. She said, you'll never know the pain. Oh, when you come from a divided home. She said, if I'd only known the remedy back in those days. She said, if my mother had only known the remedy, if my dad had only known the remedy. Now, I want to show you the remedy here real quickly. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible said three H's. He said, first, there's the head of the home. And that's where we missed it. You men, listen to me. You are to be the head of that house. When God pronounced a curse on Eve, it was twofold. God said, Eve, you're going to have to bring forth children in great travail and pain. And said, secondly, your husband shall rule over you. And people don't like that kind of preaching. They want women's lib. And I'm against women's lib. Say amen. All of this stuff. And they want women to take over men's jobs. I don't believe that's right. I don't believe it's right to put a uniform on a girl and send her to Saudi Arabia and to be up there with our troops on the front line. I cannot see that's a place for the woman. But I can see that little home where that mother, that wife is happy in the place that God wants them to be. So first of all, let's look at the head of the home. The Bible said that he's to love the wife. Oh, listen, he's to love the wife. And I was reading that one time, and I got down lower than that. So you know, and I said to my wife, I said, Dot, listen to this. It said, wives, be obedient to your husbands. You know what she said? She said, read before. I said, let's don't take it out of its context. Let's just read it right here. I said, the Bible said, wives, be obedient to your husband. She said, read up a little before. I said, husbands, love your wives. She said, if you love me like Jesus, love the church. Oh, said, I'd do anything in the world. My Bible said that husbands to love their wives even as Christ loved the church. And brother, that's the right kind of a husband. That's a scriptural husband. That's the husband that'll take the head of the house. I was preaching my church one time. I had a big old fellow named King. Man, he was about 6, 8, or 9. Had a little wife, and she bossed him around. I mean, brother, he couldn't get a drink of water without raising his hand. Say amen. You talk about hen-pecked, rooster-pecked. I mean, he was pitiful. I remember one time I was preaching, I said, now this week I've got to go over to Perry, South Carolina, and salute him and preach two different churches. And I said, I'd like for you to drive me, Brother King. He said, well, if it's the Lord's will, I said, go ask Inez and find out, bless God, if it's God's will. And he went over and said, honey, could I drive, brother? No, she said, you cannot. I've got something new to do. He came over and he said, it's not the Lord's will. Buddy, about two Sundays after that, I had it in for King. I was a preaching, and boy, I said, you men, hear me. You go home and you know, take your place as the head of the house. And I said, King, that means you. And boy, I went to Mr. Nelson's store the next morning, Monday morning, to get some milk and bread. And King came in with a big patch over his eye. I said, what's the matter, King? He said, it may work up there in the pulpit, but on the hill where I live, it just don't work. I'll tell you this. Oh, the head of the house is the husband. Now, secondly, listen to me. There is the helpmeet. No man can be the dad or the head of the house without a good helpmeet. Boy, I'd be nothing. Listen to me. I'll tell you, if it wasn't for that little wife that stands by me and prays for me, works in the office and takes care of all the burdens, she said, you know, I called her once. I like this. And I always say something different, you know. And but anyway, it was several years ago. And boy, I was having me a time and enjoying good eats, sleeping in a good bed, and preaching every night in the church. I'd have an awfulest time you ever saw, not a burden in the world. And I called up, and I knew my wife was sad. I could tell. She said, hello. And I said, shout down there in Atlanta, Georgia. And it got quiet. And I said, did you hear me, sister? Shout down there. And she's like, Miss Lashley, if she shouts, you better hunt that window over there and take off. Because my wife ain't going to shout, I'll tell you that. But I said, shout down there in Atlanta, Georgia. You know what she said? She said, if I laid up in bed and ate steaks all day and the motel and slept, bless God, I could shout too. The maids. And next night I called her and I said, hello. She said, this is the slave department. What can I do for you tonight? Oh, hear me. There is. Listen, the help meet that we have to have. Somebody says, Brother Dr. Lashley will be greatly honored at the judgment. Yeah, the judgment seat of Christ. There'll be a little lady standing beside him. Then the Lord will say, she helped carry the burden. She was the one that stood by him. So there's the help me. There's the husband. And then there's the honorable child. Oh, the Bible said, honor thy father and thy mother. That's days may be long upon the face of the earth. What a blessing it is to honor. To be in a home where you can honor your dad and your mother. Brother Jack said something this morning. He got ready to introduce me. He said, years ago, Brother Mays came in my home and prayed for my children. I tell you, we need to pray that our children will have the atmosphere in the home of the presence of Christ, and that prayer will not be a stranger, that the Bible will not be strange in the home. I believe that we need to have our children to honor father and mother. Now, I tell you, I'm glad I honored my father. I'm glad I honored my mother. Oliver Green said to me before he died when I went in to see him, he said, Mace, I was the black sheep of the Green family, but I always honored little old mama. He said, I never sassed my mother. He said, I always honored my daddy. And I said, I did too. But I said, you know the reason I honored daddy? He's the only daddy I've ever seen could take a switch and start to whip you. And listen, change hands and never miss a lick. And holler, it's hurt me worse than it is you. You know what I said? Well, you got your signals mixed up. I'm the one that's getting a lick and say amen. But you hear me, there is that honor. And oh, if we'd take our troubles in our homes this morning, the divided home can find a remedy. You let this Bible be the blueprint for your home. You abide by the laws of the Word of God in your home. And there will be the remedy. Not only is there a remedy, first of all, for a defeated soul. Not only is there a remedy for a divided house, but there's a remedy for a drifting soul. I mean that person that's away from God. That person that's drifted too far from the shore. That person that's let sin come into that life, and that person that needs a remedy from the Lord. There are two people, one in the old, one in the new, that drifted away from God, but they found the remedy. First of all, there was a girl named Ruth. She would have never known the joy of Boaz if it hadn't have been for a little girl or lady named Naomi that came with Elimelech. Down into the land of Moab, they drifted away. Bethlehem was having a famine. And did you know they couldn't trust God in the famine? So they left and went down to Moab. Oh, you hear me. If you can't trust him when the sun shines, how are you going to trust him when it's raining? If you can't trust him when you're up, how can you trust him when you're down? There's a remedy. Say, preacher, what happened? Well, let's notice. They went down there. Their daughters, Elimelech and Naomi's daughters, our sons, married heathen daughters. Oh, if you don't want your children to marry the wicked, you better bring them up around the people of God where they can find a Christian husband. and a Christian wife, but they married heathens. And it wasn't long till God said, you've drifted down here. Elimelech died. Naomi, Milon died. Chilion died. And at the graveside, here's that little Naomi. She said, I drifted down here. I'm going back. She said to Oprah, go back to your gods. Go back to your people. I'm too old to have another son to grow up and marry you. But little Ruth is standing there, and she said, I found the remedy. I'll not leave you. I'll go where thou goest. I'll do what thou dost going to do. And I want thy people to be my people. And I want thy God to be my God. And I want to be buried the same place that you're going to be buried. Now, I was telling this morning, and I don't never get up and tell how many times I've been in the Holy Land. But one thing I was disappointed in, when I went down to where they buried Joseph, Joseph is one of the best men in the Bible. Joseph never complained. Boy, wouldn't that be wonderful? When he was in the pit, he didn't complain. When he was in prison, he didn't complain. Joseph was one of the best men in the Old Testament. But because he died in Egypt, they buried him across the road, wouldn't bury him in the cemetery of his fathers. I went over and cried the first time I stood there. They said, this is the tomb of Joseph. He had to be buried across the road. I said, I don't care if his bones were in Egypt. Praise God, his heart was right. And he shouldn't have been buried where he's buried. Little old Ruth said, I don't want to be buried down here. I want to be buried in Bethlehem, the house of bread. I want to go with thee. Naomi, let me go with thee. It's wonderful when you see that everything that you have, everything you are, every place you go from, and you say, Jesus, I want you to save me. And I want to go with you. And I want to die as a Christian dies. And I want to be buried where the Christian's buried. I tell you, that's drifting away from God. They drifted to Moab. Are you living in Moab instead of Bethlehem this morning? Are you living with God? Or have you had your fellowship broken? Have you had your heart broken because of sin? There's one more. He's in the New Testament. He drifted away. He became rebellious. He thought too much of himself. And he thought nothing of God, nor respect for his dad. He said, give me the potion that belongs to me. I'm tired of being tied to mother's apron strings. I'm tired of this house. I'm tired of hearing about God. And he took his journey into the far country. And while he was there, he met some friends. But when his money ran out, his friends were gone. Well, I want to tell you, if somebody's your friend just because of your money, you better wake up, mister. You better see that that's not a basis for friendship. The Bible said a friend loveth at all times. The Bible said there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And what a blessing it is. Now watch this, I'll help you here. The Bible said one day he came to himself and I'd hogged him. He came to himself. I told you about it. I used to preach for Dr. Glaze. And some of you men were in the service in Columbus, Georgia, across that little town across there. I used to preach for Dr. Glaze every year. And he had a little old boy in the front row. He's the smartest little fellow I've ever seen in the Bible. Man, you couldn't catch that little old boy. He knew all about the Bible. He came up to me one night after the service, and I said, hey, buddy, how we doing? He said, I want to ask you something, Brother Mays. I said, ask. He said, why did God let Jesus stay in that fiery furnace when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out? And I'd never thought of that. Why didn't God bring the fourth man out? I said, son, give me a minute, and I'll give you the answer. That little boy stood there, that little bow tie. He said, I'm waiting on you, brother. I said, you're going to get it too, bless God. The old boy looked up at me, and you know what he said? Do you know the answer? I said, yes, I know the answer. I said, I may be thrown in there, and the Lord's going to be in there before I get there. Praise God. I'm glad he stayed in there. Amen? But that old boy was smart. He asked me, he said, was it raining or sunshine one night after when God created Adam? I said, the Bible don't say, the Bible said. And in Genesis 2:7, Lord God formed man out of dust of the ground, breathed the nostril, breath of life, man became a living soul. He said, now you know whether it's raining or sunshine. I said, no, I don't. He said, quote it slowly. I said, the Lord God formed man out of dust. He said, stop. He said, if it had been raining, it had been mud. Praise the Lord. He knew. But here's the thing that got me. He came up one night and he said, how long did that prodigal stay in that hog pen, Brother Mays? I looked at that little boy in Columbus, Georgia, and I said, the Bible, oh, he said, yes, yes, you'll think. Well, I said, I've been trying to think all week down here in Columbus, Georgia, and you asked some of the strangest questions I ever heard. So one of you had to ask me where Cain got his wife. I used to tell him he got him from his mother-in-law. Say amen, that's a good answer. But you hear me? That little boy looked at me and he said, how long did that prodigal stay in that hog pen? And I thought and prayed, and then I said, son, come up here, I want to tell you. He stayed there till he got tired of his sin, tired of the pigs, tired of that old place to live. And he said, I'm thinking about my father. He's got bread to spare. And I perish with hunger. I will arise and I will go to my father and say, I've sinned against heaven and sinned against thee and no more worthy. And I said, son, when he got tired of his sin, I said, when men get tired of living in defeat and in sin and want to come to Jesus, I said, I always say what Jeremiah said. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a remedy for man's sin. There's a remedy for a broken heart. There's a remedy for your life that's been scarred by sin. There is a remedy for you that may be discouraged. There is a remedy for you that are defeated. All you've got to do is acknowledge your need and come to the Savior, for he has the remedy. Ever head bowed or back closed? Jeremiah, he said, Lord, these people are dying. These people are in a plague. These people are hopeless. He said, dear Lord, is there a bomb in Gilead? He said, dear Lord, I want to ask you a question. Do you have the remedy for this situation? And I'm glad the Lord said, there is a bomb in Gilead. There is a remedy for every person in this house this morning. And some of you put off and procrastinated and said, I'll get saved someday. No, someday may never come. The Bible doesn't give you a promise of tomorrow in salvation. It didn't say you wouldn't have an opportunity, but it said, behold, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Now, right now. Oh, tomorrow may be too late, he says. There's a remedy now. I'm going to ask you three questions, and then we're going to pray. And we're going to give the invitation this morning. Oh, if I were you, and I'd sought and I'd looked and could not find the remedy to the heartache of my soul, I'd come down this morning in Jesus. Has the remedy. Let me ask you three questions. Number one, how many of you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven, you're born again under the blood? Slip up your hand quickly. God bless you. Amen. What a wonderful sight. Now take your hand down, beloved. Number two, real quickly. How many of you say, preacher, I'm a Christian, but I want to be honest with you. I haven't gotten in this meeting, and preacher, I just can't get close to God. It doesn't seem anymore. And preacher, I want my life to count for Jesus. Preacher, I want my life to be something for the Lord. Oh, when I hear these young people in this church going to mission fields, and that thrills me. You know why?
You know why? Preachers tell me about Brother Jack's two daughters marrying. Preachers, listen to me. I've got several weeks of my life in those two daughters. I look at these others that's gone out of here and gone to churches and mission fields, and they've got a few weeks of my life that I gave, prayed, cried over. And oh, that's a blessing to me to know that I might have had a little influence upon their lives to go and give themselves. But Christian, there's some of you here this morning, Christians, listen to me, and you haven't given all to Jesus, and you know it. Would you step up that hand? Let me see it. I want to pray for you. Then you can take it now. Would you lift it up? Would you lift it up? God bless you, and God bless you. That's two. Are there others? Quickly. Let me see your hand, Wiki. Anyone else? Say, preacher, I'm going to be honest. All right, just two people. I want them to come. But let me ask you one more question. Is there someone here and you don't know the Lord Jesus? I mean, you've been running from God. Your life's been troubled. You know you have no peace. You know that there's no joy in your life because you've never confronted that big question, what shall I do then with Jesus? But this morning, there's a remedy. Jesus is waiting down here for you. And I don't want a person to walk out of here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you're not sure you're saved, would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. If you're not certain that you'd go to heaven if you were to die, lift up your hand. Let me see it real quickly. While I wait just a few seconds, I want to pray for you. Would you hold up your hand? Anyone? Yes, God bless you, son. Is there another? There's some others here this morning. Folks, listen. This is the most important thing in the world. Oh, telling men and women and boys and girls, there is a remedy. They can be saved. They can know the Lord. Is there another one? Say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not certain that everything, preacher, is right between me and the Lord in salvation even. Lift up that hand. Is there another? I believe there's several young people here this morning. You're not sure about your salvation. Would you lift up your hand? Would you lift it up? Maybe there's a mother, daddy, and you're not sure you're saved. Would you lift up your hand? Our Father, I brought the message you laid on my heart early this morning. I could see the plague of sin covering our land. Lord, I could hear the cry of Jeremiah when he said it was like that in my day. And I asked the Lord, is there a mom in Gilead? And he said, there is a remedy. May every person in this auditorium that has a burden and a need from the Lord get up when we begin to sing, and may they come right down here, kneel at this altar. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen and amen. Let's stand all over the house. Brother Gary, we'll sing what? 270. Here's a good old song. Listen. 270, if you need a... I don't think you even need a book. It said, just as I am without one plea. O Lamb of God, I come. Listen to me. He's talking to you. Just as you are. You can come this morning. The good pastor's right here. And he'll have some others to help you. If you're not saved, if you do not know the Lord, while we sing, or if you have a special need as a Christian, you come, sing with Brother Gary in the choir, and come right on down while we sing. All right, quickly, step right on down. We're going to pray. Amen. The next stanza, come on down. We're going to pray. We're going to meet you right here. Just keep coming. Yes, just keep coming. Brother Gary.
here while we sing. Come quickly. That's right. Don't you put it off. If God is dealing with you, if God is speaking to you, I want you to
come.
To bow your head for just a few seconds, let me just say this. Did you have an urge in your heart to come down? Do you feel this morning that God is trying to speak to your heart? Thank God for these that have come. Here's a young lady on my left. She came all the way from the back, weeping. But I believe some of you have not obeyed God this morning. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing one more stanza, and the service will be history. Father, I thank you for being patient with us and long-suffering to us. Lord, you're so patient with us. You're so long-suffering with us. Lord, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to know the blessings of God. And I pray in Jesus' name that everyone on this last stanza will be obedient. Lord, don't let a person leave Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church without being able to say, I obeyed the Spirit of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sing that last stanza. You do what God tells you to. Mind the Spirit. Don't let the devil cheat you. Don't you walk out of here till you obey the Lord, all right? While the choir sings, Brother Gary, sing along. Come right on down. We're going to pray.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive.
Yes.
Wilt welcome heart and plan freely. Because thy promise, I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
Come at all.
Just
mind the Lord. Somebody else said God's speaking.
Come in a moment, but I won't talk to you just for a moment. While he's coming, beloved, listen, there is a remedy. I do not know your trouble this morning, but I'm sure the Lord wouldn't lay this on my heart. I wasn't going to preach on this morning. I believe God laid this on my heart, and I tried to bring it to you, that there is a remedy, that there is an answer to every problem and every sin that you may have. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you something. How many would say, preacher, I did not come, but I do want to be remembered in prayer. Would you slip up your hand real quickly? You did not come, but you want to be remembered. Yes, God bless you back there. I see it. Is there another? Preacher, I did not come, but I want to. Yes, God bless you. That's right. Surely we could come on down. You that raised your hand, I'd come right on down. I wouldn't let the devil cheat me. Now, I'm going to pray for you like I said. But I want you to come right on down. Just make your way out and come right on down. We're going to pray. Would you come, our Father? I promise to pray for these precious ones. They lifted their hands. They signified that they wanted prayer and they wanted me to remember. And Lord, I want you to remember these. Oh, don't let them wait too late. Don't let them procrastinate. Don't let them leave here this morning with no joy and no peace, troubled in heart and troubled in mind. Oh, I pray that you'll continue now to speak in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Look this way. I know it's a little late. We're going to sing another stanza. Somebody else needs to come. Somebody else needs to come. Folk, listen. This is the most important thing in the world. If it were your daughter, your son, that we get these folks settled in the Lord, that we get these folks where they can say, praise God, I know the remedy. Let's sing that next stanza as we sing it. Pray, folks, as we sing it. Just breathe the word of prayer as we sing it, all right?
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, my king that fear within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Our Father, we come again to pray. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you've spoken troubled hearts. Oh, may they be troubled until they call upon the name of the Lord. Thank you, there is a remedy. Now give these peace that are here, whatever that need may be. I'm glad there's a remedy for it. And may these find that peace that remedy assures us of. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Now let me say this, and then the good pastor's coming in just a moment. I don't want you to miss this afternoon. Listen, I want you to be here. Boy, I'll tell you, we're going to have time. I'm going to preach on prophecy that'll soon make headlines. I mean, the Johnson City paper, I'll put it in little small letters. It'll be in bold letters. Prophecy that will soon make headlines. Now that's at 2:30. We'll not keep you too long. I'll have to catch an airplane. Of course, I never caught one yet, but I'll try to run it down, praise God. You be with us, all right.
I will see that, don't you? Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Mays. We appreciate these.